Hello, I'm Major Adrian Allman.
And I'm Captain Claire Allman.
Welcome to the Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army podcast series. Birmingham Citadel is a Christian church located in Birmingham city centre, here in the UK. Each episode is a live recording of the Bible message shared during the Sunday worship service.
It's good to have you share with us, and as you listen now, we pray that God will speak to you. May you know God's abundant blessing today. So this coming week on Thursday in America and Canada, they will be celebrating Thanksgiving Day, which usually kicks off the holiday season. Thanksgiving Day can be traced back to 1621 celebrations at the Plymouth Plantation, where the English settlers known popularly, I've been practicing that word, and for some reason it's just find it really difficult to say this day. Anyway, Popularly, the pilgrims invited the local Native Americans to a harvest feast after successful growing season. It's the American version, of course, of the harvest festival, but I kind of figure that whenever there's a chance to breathe a prayer of thanks, then we should never hold our breath, eh? And so I'm reminded of Paul's words to the Thessalonians, where it says, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Paul's main subject here is praise, prayer, and thanksgiving. Notice the other important words in these verses, always, continually, and in all circumstances. He's talking about a continual attitude for Christians, an attitude of the heart. How are we to be with each other? But you know, it makes you wonder, how can we have this attitude continually, especially in all circumstances? And I believe that the answer lies in our perspective of thanksgiving. To be thankful in all circumstances, we need a proper perspective of our circumstances and of our God. And only then will we be able to give thanks to the Lord always. Now, I think there are at least three attitudes that steal our gratitude, three things that keep us from being thankful. There could be others, there is probably others, but there's three in particular. Perhaps firstly, it's our pride, the attitude that says, nobody ever gave me anything. I worked hard for everything I have. For years I've studied hard or I've worked hard and now it's finally paying off. And with this kind of attitude, we feel that we've no one to thank but ourselves. Perhaps another attitude is a critical spirit, constantly complaining. Instead of being grateful, we'll always find something to complain about. The story is told of two men who shared a hospital room. One man was by the window and the other was by the hall. The man by the hall was angry because he wasn't by the window. The man by the window would cheerfully relate to the other what he saw out of the window. The angry man wished the other man would go home soon. Eventually, the man by the window died, and the angry man was moved to the window. But when he looked out to see the view, all he saw was another wall. Some people see the good in everything, while others see the bad. Who are you? Who are you in that? Perhaps you have an attitude of being dissatisfied. Someone once said that if the stars only came out once a year, we would stay out all night to watch them. But you know, they're here every night, and we have just grown accustomed to them that we don't look for them. The Israelites grumbled because they had no food, so God miraculously sent manna to cover the ground each day except for the Sabbath. Then they started to grumble because it was the same thing every day, became dissatisfied. They had a miracle straight from God every day, but they were no longer satisfied. Are you a dissatisfied person, always looking for something better, not satisfied with what you have? Because of our pride or our critical and complaining spirit or our dissatisfaction, we'll never be truly thankful for all that God has given us. Rudyard Kipling, the writer, was very successful and made a fortune from his writings. And a newspaper reporter came up to him and said, "Mr. Kipling, I just read that somebody calculated that the money you make from your writings amount to over $100 a word." Mr. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, "Really? I certainly wasn't aware of that." The reporter cynically reached down into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Mr. Kipling and said, "Here's a $100 bill, Mr. Kipling. Now give me one of your $100 words." Mr. Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, took it, folded it up and put it in his pocket and said, "Thanks." He's right. The word "thanks" is certainly a $100 word. In fact, I would say it's more like a $1 million word. It's one word that is not heard enough and too often forgotten. And if everyone adopted an attitude of thanksgiving in their lives, we would all be changed. The world would look different, I'm sure. We would savor each day so much more, and the things that we had. This morning on this day, when we've been thanking God for new life itself, I'd like to share with you three things we learn about thanksgiving from the Bible. Firstly, we learn that thanksgiving should be expressed. Psalm 100, which says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart." David says this, and then in Psalm 107, he says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good." We should express our thanks to God and others. In Luke 17, we read about 10 men who were healed by Jesus of their leprosy. Out of those 10 men, only one came back to give thanks. And Jesus said, "Where are the other nine?" He was only the one willing to take the time to go back and say thank you. And because of that, Jesus said to him, "Rise and go, your faith has made you well." Have you ever wondered why Jesus said that to him? I mean, like the others, the man had been healed of his leprosy from the time they went to show themselves to the priests. But Jesus says to this man, "Your faith has made you well." He wasn't just talking about the physical healing. He was talking about a spiritual one, a mental one. He was made whole because of his attitude. We too are made whole by our thanksgiving. Psychologists tell us that sincere gratitude, thanksgiving, is the healthiest of all human emotions. It's said that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. And a thankful heart will endear others to us and us to others. For you see, thanksgiving is not only good for the giver, but it's also good for the receiver. God appreciates our thanksgiving. It lifts him up and it glorifies him. And thanksgiving endears us to him to us as well. It draws us closer. If we're not grateful, if we don't express our thanksgiving, then it can have the opposite effect. In Romans, Paul says this, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened." This passage seems to imply that people who are ungrateful to God will soon fall away. Their hearts will become hardened. Here we see pride keeping people from worshipping God and being thankful. There are so many things that we can be thankful for. Let's remember to express it, eh? And then secondly, our thanksgiving should be expansive. As our thanksgiving expands, it should include three things. It should include the blessings of life. You know, I really love my husband. He's very special. He's truly a blessing in my life. One thing is really special is that every evening he stands in our kitchen after a meal and thanks God for our sink full of dirty dishes. No, he doesn't do that. But who does, really? But perhaps in a stupid way, perhaps we should. A sink full of dirty dishes usually means that we've been blessed by God with daily food and water. Do you realize that 2/3 of the world go to bed hungry every night? Our prayers are often very general. We say, "Thank you, God, for all your blessings." But what blessings are we really thankful for? Doesn't the song say, "Count your blessings, name them one by one"? Our thanksgiving should also include the burdens of life, yes. Now, this is a tough one. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Ephesians 20 says, always giving thanks. You may think surely Paul made a mistake or even that it was easy for him to say, but it wasn't. Paul suffered from some very difficult problems that he called a thorn in his flesh. He also had been run out of town, beaten, whipped, imprisoned, betrayed by friends, naked, cold, hungry, shipwrecked, and stoned because of his faith. Yet Paul never stopped giving thanks. This week I went for coffee with someone who's been a victim and is a survivor of human trafficking. Thank God, she's been recently granted leave to stay in the country legally. And the process for her has taken 5 years. And during that process, everything that could go wrong for her went wrong. And when you hear even that part of the story, never mind the bit before, you know, it just seemed so unfair. Here's someone who totally knows about the burdens of life, eh? Yet she said to me over coffee, she said, Claire, I could look back and think, why me? But I choose to think, actually, this has worked out better for me. Despite all I've been through, it's made me a better and stronger person. Whew. My goodness, someone like that saying that. What an attitude to have, being thankful even for the burdens of life because of the person it's made her now. Whew. Paul said several things that really show he had the proper perspective of the burden of life. Romans 8, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. In 2 Corinthians, he says, that is why for Christ's sake I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. And in Philippians, he says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. When we, like Paul, have the proper perspective, we can give thanks in all circumstances. In our weakness, God can make us strong. When we're struggling, God is able to work still in our lives. He helps us through times that we could never have faced on our own. And I'm sure most of you here could testify to that. I don't believe that Paul is saying that we have to be thankful for our problems, but rather in them. In them. And being thankful in them allows God to use them for his greater good and use us for his greater good. The Philippian jailer was ready to take his life because of an earthquake and it freed his prisoners. But what saved him was the attitude of Peter and Silas during their difficult imprisonment. They were singing and praising God even though they were in chains. But they knew God and that he would help them through. And because of their joy, the jailer and his entire household became Christians. Understand this, that others can come to Christ because of your example, especially in the midst of difficult times. And thirdly, our thanksgiving should include the benefits of life as well. When the Israelites focused on what they didn't have, they failed to see all that they did have. We are constantly adding to our prayer list, but more than anything, we should be adding to our praise list. We have all had difficult times, maybe even times that we've despaired even of life itself. But if we really look at the benefits of life, we give thanks. So our thanksgiving should be expressed, it should be expanded, but also our thanksgiving is expected. Paul says here, give thanks in all circumstances because this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And he knows if we do it, that our lives will be changed. This is the mark of a growing Christian. For example, a baby is ungrateful. You can take a little baby when it's colic and walk the floor with them for hours. And when you put that baby down, they don't say thank you. More likely, they probably will just start crying again. A child has to be taught to be thankful. What's that word? You forgot a word there? It doesn't come naturally. When we realize how blessed we are by others and by God and express that naturally, We are growing as Christians. Our thanksgiving should also be the mark of a giving Christian. When we realize how much God has done for us and how much he continues to do, we should be more than happy to give something back to him. This comes through our time, our talents, our skills, our resources, and in our financial giving. Someone said that for thanksgiving to be real thanksgiving, there must be thanks and there must be giving. Does your financial giving to God's kingdom building reflect your thanks? When was the last time you even thought about that and prayed over it rather than seeing what change you've got in your purse and what's left out of your wage packet each month? Just as God has blessed us, so should we bless his work by our giving. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver. And then thanksgiving is a mark of a growing Christian, a giving Christian, and a glowing Christian. If you're thankful to God, then you will be glowing. You will not be constantly critical and pessimistic, but eternally thankful. So the difficult time, even though the difficult times are just that, they will not break you. Paul says in his second letter to Corinthians, "We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on what, not on what is seen, but what is unseen." Henry Frost served for many years as a missionary to China. And in his journal, he wrote of a very difficult time in his life. He says, "I had received sad news from home and deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an inland station and saw on the wall of the mission home these two words, 'Try Thanksgiving.'" Try Thanksgiving. I did. And in a moment, every shadow was gone, not to return. Yes, the psalmist was right. It's good to give thanks unto the Lord. So let us remember to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Precious and righteous Father, thank you for being there always. Give us a deeper appreciation and a more profound awareness of your presence today. May our lives reflect the joy you have given us by saving us by grace. And may our hearts always find its home in you. Lord, help us to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. Through the name of Jesus, our Saviour and friend, I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast this week.
So you don't miss any further recordings, please subscribe to this podcast and also share and review it to help other people find and join our Birmingham Citadel online congregation.
This has been a production for Birmingham Citadel Salvation Army in the United Kingdom. If you'd like to know more about us or want to worship with us, then visit our webpage at birminghamcitadel.co.uk.